Hello, and welcome to another episode of MK Crypto Diaries. I am your host, Dr. Justine Cherrera, and we are recording this episode today, the 13th of October, 2023. Today, we'll be talking about what is going on in crypto in the UK. There has been lots of recent hot news and updates, some published directly from the UK's financial regulator, the FCA. So, what does the current UK regulatory framework look like? And what are some of the latest insights about the implementation of the so-called travel rule? Also, what are the new rules for crypto businesses relating to crypto asset companies marketing crypto assets to UK consumers all about? And finally, what is the current sentiment on the FCA's publication on its issued 146 alerts relating to companies marketing crypto to the UK and which companies are not authorized or registered? Joining us to discuss these very interesting topics are Robert Courtnage and Ian Taylor. Ian Taylor is a board advisor to Crypto UK, which is the UK's trade body for digital assets. And Ian is also the head of crypto and digital assets at KPMG UK. Our second guest is Robert Courtnage. Robert Courtnage is an independent payments industry advisor based in the UK, who also holds an advisory position at the UK Payments Association. Robert's background also includes holding positions at Locklord and Citibank. Robert, Ian, thank you for joining us today. So let's dive right in. So the first question to you guys, can you please give a high-level overview of the current UK regulatory landscape? What laws are currently in force or tabled bills in place? When does a crypto asset firm need to be just authorized or registered? And what players are currently subject to crypto regulation? So whoever wants to take it, please go ahead.
Ian, do you want to kick off?
Sure. Well, thank you ever so much for having me today on your podcast. So regulation for the crypto asset sector. At the moment, we have live three pieces of regulation. I'll talk about what firms need to do and which firms are in scope. And then I'll defer to Robert and perhaps we can talk about the future direction of travel for the UK. The money laundering regime, which is was prior to Brexit, transposed from the EU Anti-Money Laundering Directive 5, which requires all crypto asset service businesses. That's what the FCA gives the definition to a group of companies that participate in crypto, which mainly includes trading venues, exchanges, for example, custodians, maybe some intermediaries or broker dealer operations. And that's the basic requirement that all organizations, financial organizations, lawyers, estate agents have to do with regard to protecting against illicit finance. So that's your KYC, your AML, your counterterrorism finance and transaction monitoring. That landed in the UK at the beginning of 2020. Not to bore your listeners with how that's operated, but it's been fraught with a few issues. There's been a couple of temporary extensions and there's been lots of firms that have been asked to withdraw by the FCA. They haven't met the bar and so on and so forth. That's piece number one, which is to do with protecting against illicit finance.
Do you know how many are registered in terms of this AML registration? Rough number?
Not as many as I'd like, over 50.
Okay.
And we've got hundreds of applications. Yeah.
Okay.
And then piece number two is regarding advertising. And I think we'll get onto that in detail because that piece of regulation has just come into force over the last few days. And then what also is relevant is, again, another piece of protecting against financial crime is the so-called travel rule, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. So, yeah, over to you, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was fraught with difficulty. The ability to register for being a crypto asset business for AML in the rest of Europe has varied by country, as I'm sure you're aware, Justine. But in the UK, what they decided to do was virtually create an application for an e-money license, albeit it had some bits missing, but it was pretty much you had to put your whole business case and everything that you would have had to put in a normal application. And so it was very deep scrutiny by the FCA of all the businesses that wanted to register. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just a simple, I'm doing this, register.
Uh-huh. The application was like 70 pages or 60 pages or something like that.
It depends on how much you wrote.
Okay.
Your questions didn't last 70 pages, but many of the people writing responses had responses of that length, depending on the amount of information they put about their business. But the majority of the applications were rejected. I think there were well over 200. So either they were rejected or they were asked to withdraw. I think Revolut was probably one of the most named in there. I think they were the very last ones, probably one of the first to apply and one of the last to actually get registered after over 2 years, I think they took. So it was quite a cumbersome process, and it wasn't that clear, I think, to the businesses that wanted to do it in the UK, how they should actually approach it. There was not a lot of guidance given. But we are where we are, and that was the first one. Yeah. There is mid-50s. I can send you the link that you can share with listeners if they want to see.
So those 50 are the golden 50. That means they're super high quality and they definitely have their things in place.
There are new ones still being listed because, as we'll go on to later, one of the requirements under the financial promotions regulations that have been updated to include crypto now are that you have to be a registered AML crypto firm to be able to do it yourself, or as a crypto firm you can be Section 21 authorized to authorize promotions in that sector. And I know there are some of the businesses that are listed there have actually gone to market suggesting that they will offer that service.
Okay.
So it's I think it whilst it was a big process to get through the hoops to get there, I think the FCA has actually expanded what you can do as a registered firm now for AML.
Fair, okay, you know, makes sense. Thanks for that. Is there any stable coin related bills or laws in place or in draft?
That's exactly what is coming down the pipe shortly with the expected secondary piece of legislation or second level legislation in the EU. For stablecoin issuers will be treated like e-money institutions. That's expected imminently, a consultation on the detail. It was being added to the primary legislation. So we would expect over the next several months that this will come into force because both the financial promotions and the stablecoin legislation was in this overarching piece of financial legislation, which is called the Financial Services Market Bill, which was written into the statute book a few months ago. So that is coming shortly. And those big stablecoin issuers, some of them are members, are really pushing the government to give them clarity so they can, start investing in the UK. And if we don't get that clarity, then they won't invest in the UK because there is clarity elsewhere.
No, of course. I know it's a big topic.
Some discussions yesterday actually with some I thought perhaps with the response to the consultation we might get some draft regulation in, but apparently we're going to get some quite detailed information in the response as to what the legislation would look like, but there won't be any draft legislation in there. That will come up afterwards, so we are still a little way out from getting anything, unfortunately, but apparently we are going to get some quite clear guidelines as to what they're going to put in place as an equivalent to MiCA. But it's not just MiCA, Justine. We're also updating as they are in Europe, PSD3, and that's all the same process. And at the same time, we've got the discussions on the digital pound going through. And it's sort of one of the reasons I think it's taking so long to get the approval to release the response is because it's got everything in it.
it's complex to see the interplay between all these, you know, different parties and how they're going to be regulated. So we'll definitely stay tuned and stand by for a stablecoin issue, as it seems that there will be some news to come in the following weeks. Now, Ian, you mentioned the travel rule before, which is my next question. So from the 1st September 2023, crypto asset businesses in the UK will be required to collect, verify and share information about crypto asset transfers, known as the famous travel rule. Now, under MiCAR, which is the new EU crypto asset regulation, crypto asset service providers will need to implement this travel rule as of latest December 2024, so end of next year. Now, my question to you is, would it not have been easier if the UK followed suit with the EU in terms of timeline for implementation, especially given the difficulties of crypto asset service providers to collect the required information from other providers who are based in jurisdictions where the travel rule is not yet in effect? So what are your thoughts on the matter? And do you have any insights into how crypto businesses in the UK are dealing with this implementation in terms of travel rule?
Okay, so let's kind of set the scene here and just to quickly give a definition of the travel rule for listeners who might know. It's not about traveling during the pandemic and having specific rules on where you can travel. It's to do with sending personal information when you send a transaction. So in the world of banking, you make a payment from bank account A to bank account B, and if it's over a certain amount, say €1,000, the sending entity is required by law to attach to that transfer a whole host of information, such as the person, the account name, the date, the time, and the amount. That's been around in the financial services sector for many years. And so in 2019, the Financial Action Task Force, or the FATF, which is the intergovernmental agency that looks at protecting against money laundering and terrorist finance, said that all crypto asset service providers, or virtual asset service providers, as the FATF call them, VASPs, will be required to capture this data. Now, that was 4 years ago, and many countries haven't implemented this yet. So post-Brexit, the UK government is able to, you know, operate outside of the European Union, and so perhaps went unusually as a, you know, ahead of Europe. Normally the UK looks to be a second mover. We saw that obviously with the MiCA regulation and the UK's overarching regulation of the sector, which we can talk about later. But I mean, what I can tell you is, whether it's the right thing to do to move ahead of Europe or not, there's two things at play here. One, you have the guidance that has been around, as I said, for several years from FATF, and the UK government generally does implement the guidelines that come from these intergovernmental standard setters. And so the amendment to what's called the Money Laundering, Terrorism, Finance and Transfer of Funds Act, which was put in place in 2017, was updated last summer to include the travel rule for crypto businesses. So, I mean, from my side, what the work that Crypto UK does with other trade associations at that intergovernmental level with the Financial Action Task Force, I can tell you on a number of the calls that I've been on as a private sector entity at the FATF plenaries over the last year or so, they are getting quite frustrated with the delay for what we call competent authorities, so individual governments implementing the travel rule. So they are really putting pressure on governments. So the travel rule is difficult for crypto businesses to be 100% compliant day one for a number of reasons, which include operationally, interoperability of different solutions, software solutions. So think of, in the world of banking, the way that they address the travel rule is through a SWIFT payment. A SWIFT payment is a messaging standard where you can attach a whole load of information to it. The problem in crypto is that there is no single group like SWIFT that is driving this forward. Crypto businesses don't generally trust each other to come together as a collective and work towards a single standard, which is what FATF wants. It doesn't want one private sector entity creating a single standard everyone uses, because that's not good for, you know, competition from a monopolistic viewpoint. And then secondly, in terms of being able to be compliant across the globe at the same time, which is called the sunrise problem. And Crypto UK has spoken about this quite extensively when we were commissioned by the Joint Money Laundering Steering Committee together with another trade association to help define the consultation and work towards getting the balance of this right. This sunrise problem is about different jurisdictions moving at different speeds. And so it's very complicated where you have, yes, the UK is now live, Singapore is live, Switzerland's live, Japan is live, but maybe other jurisdictions in the 27 member states aren't live. So you're not obligated as a trading platform to send that data to one jurisdiction, but you are obligated to send it to another jurisdiction. And then I won't go into all the detail about the data you receive from somebody sending you information, whether that's up to your internal standard or in fact your government's internal standard or your government's guidelines in the regulation. So it's going to take a while for this to play out, much like any new regulation. We pushed for a number of things at Crypto UK when it came to discussions with government about drafting the policy. One was to have a carve out for non-hosted wallets. So we got that. That was a win for the sector, where we said we don't think at this time it would be proportionate to have centralized exchange collect the data when sending to a personal wallet or a non-hosted wallet. So that's now been transcribed into law on a proportional base, which is good. And then secondly, the fact that we need a phased approach here. We can't say from day one, company, you need to be 100% compliant, because it's just not possible. And I talk to firms all the time, operationally, to implement the travel rule, firms can only implement, say, 10%. Of the organizations that send transfers to, because they're in these jurisdictions that aren't compliant yet. So that's that sunrise problem that I mentioned.
No, amazing. Thanks for that. Thanks for breaking down the definition in the first place. And certainly, hopefully by the end of it, the sun will rise across the globe. It's just a matter of time, as you're saying, and there are different jurisdictions implementing at different stages. Robert, do you have anything to add?
I think the EU didn't put a de minimis, did they? Whereas UK's got the £1,000 and
the fact. I think in the EU there is the same. There is the same thousand.
Is there €1,000 euros? I thought that was just for the non-custodial wallets piece, but maybe I'm missing that.
I mean, you could be right. I'm not sure offhand, but I know that there's the £1,000 threshold, euro threshold.
I think the main issue is the speed at which different countries are implementing it. I think this is a problem with crypto and to be honest, all money businesses, all banking businesses, is how you get the whole world to have the same rules in at the same time to make it a level playing field. Because there will always be cracks that the fraudsters and the crazy people get into, and make it more difficult for you to run your business in a proper way.
No, completely agreed. And it's just a matter of time, really. So it's good to be a first abider in a way and set the tone, because it just shows, you know, sort of a certain level of commitment and quality in the country, in my opinion. Now, you've also touched up on the new rules in terms of financial promotions. So I'd like to focus your attention on these new rules. So in June 2023, the FCA published new rules for the promotions of crypto assets within the financial promotions regime. And therefore, crypto asset companies marketing crypto assets to UK consumers will need to abide by these new rules, which came into effect on the 8th of October 2023. So basically just a few days ago. Could you please give an overview of what these new rules are and who they apply to, and also perhaps explain what the consequences of not implementing these new rules are?
I think it might be useful for Ian to give a bit of background, because Ian and I went to a few meetings with the FCA over... Okay. The putting this together, and I think Ian's association having a lot more crypto members than the Payments Association that I was representing, I think was far more active in being able to get some changes put through to make it more workable when it came through. So I don't know whether you want to just give
yes,
a bit
Ian,
of-
please.
Yeah. Sure. So I tried. Summarizes it, because this has been around for 2 or 3 years, but it all sort of started with what's called the ASA, the Advertising Standards Association here, which hasn't got any statutory rights to enforce in any way. It's not a regulatory agency, but it was getting a lot of complaints from folks in the public about bad advertising related to crypto. And I mean, we've all seen the stories of these tokens that we've never heard of being advertised on the tube saying, buy this, it's going to go to the moon, you'll be, you know, super rich. And this is not what we want in society, where adverts are, you know, not clear and misleading and promising great returns. So that's where this all started. Mm-hmm. And then also the government was forced to act, rightfully so, to protect against consumer harms. And so what we had was these two pieces of, one was primary legislation with the government saying, well, you, crypto businesses now fall into what's called the financial promotions regime. And that is, in its simplest form, if you want to promote your products and services, this is to retail, not institutional, you have to be an authorized person. Gateway thing, which in short means you have to be authorized by the FCA to approve your own promotions. And now in logic, this works for, say, Barclays or any other bank, because they know the products they're building and making, because they're the experts at providing, you know, credit cards. And so they know how to advertise them. And there's rules to go through that, which we'll come on to in a minute. Problem is, we have no firms are regulated by the FCA. So in fact, this new piece of regulation was a de facto ban. And we said, hang on a minute, government, this is not proportional. This is not promoting competition. This doesn't make the UK look open for business, blah, blah, blah. So we worked hard. And I mean, a lot of back channeling, a lot of meetings bilaterally with government, with members of parliament, with ministers, with the FCA, with the guys in Treasury. And we managed to get a carve out, which is a temporary exemption for those companies that are on the money laundering regime, which is not an authorization. It's just a activity-based registration application at the FCA. So that was another win that we pushed hard for. Nonetheless, it's still fraught with problems. And I'll hand to Robert in a minute for some of the detail. But at the same time, you had the FCA looking at putting the promotions of crypto asset into this medium risk bucket, which they call mass marketing instruments or ready realizable securities. So think of peer-to-peer lending. That is also in this same bucket. And when you're in that bucket as a perceived higher risk investment, which the FCA do perceive crypto to be because of the volatility and the lack of understanding, which I don't think anybody disagrees with, the logic there. But you're required, if you want to promote your product or service to the UK, it means you have to implement positive frictions. So what does that mean? That slows the customer journey down in a way that helps them take a breath. Are you doing the right thing? Do you understand what you're doing? And so on and so forth. And then there's the sophistication test. You know, do you understand? How does a company implement that? And then there's this whole thing about a direct promotion in the digital age. If I put on my website, buy crypto, then you're in scope. So there's just a lot of, at this moment, because it's so new, confusion and lack of clarity. I mean, the FCA has tried to communicate over the last several months to businesses that this is coming. Whether we think they've taken a, you know, perhaps a heavy hand into the way that they're going to expose those firms, and we could talk about the list that was published this week. But in general, the industry welcomes protection against consumer harms. But again, it's always a devil in the detail with how you can actually implement all of these requirements from day one. It's not straightforward.
And is the FCA being reasonable in its approach if there's a company which wants to be cooperative? Are they providing guidance or exemptions or extensions?
They've had a pretty clear comms strategy. Now, whether though you perceive those comms to be, you know, aggressive or medium or competitive with the industry, that's not for me to say. Okay. But like I said, they have moved a lot of resource from other teams into the financial promotions team, and they have conducted roundtables, not just with trade associates like myself and Robert. We were at a roundtable, also with industry, with participants that they're in scope. So they have been seeking feedback both from the industry and also giving information out at these roundtables and publicly on their website. So it's been around a while, this regulation. And as I said, we've been discussing this with many different stakeholders in the private and the public sector. But now regulation is a blunt tool. When it's live, then there's always going to be issues. And that's what we're dealing with now. And hopefully, as we've communicated to the FCA and to His Majesty's Treasury, give this industry time.
Yes.
Because we are new to being regulated. We're not big banks. We're not big legal firms. We don't have the resource. Work with us and give us a time to implement this on a, you know, case by case, stage by stage basis.
Agree. That makes complete sense. Robert?
I think the other thing, Ian, was the scope of this. I mean, clearly it was set up predominantly to deal with those knee-jerk reaction to the Tube adverts for the to the Sky and Back. But the reality is it covers any crypto exchange anywhere in the world that's advertising or website is available in the UK. And your requirement is kind of undefined. I mean, the discussions like if your website is you're an exchange like Binance, who now are saying that they are working with one of the registered firms to be able to continue to promote in the UK. That registered firm presumably is providing the Section 21 authorization for the website. But that section, so those people that are approving that advert or the website are saying that every single token on that website is properly reviewed and they're content that those tokens could be bought by the general public in the UK. It's just, you know what I mean, don't you? And it's quite a wide authorization requirement. Mm-hmm. And the Section 21 puts a lot of pressure on those firms that are authorizing them.
And it's complicated also if you've got, say, the, you know, the mothership or the, you know, the home jurisdiction is the US, and then they have a branch in the UK, you know, big global exchange, and the you know, the marketing team in their main jurisdiction in the US, for example, starts pushing out promotions on social media that I see as a UK citizen in my feed, then they're in breach if they haven't gone through these processes and procedures to make sure they adhere to the rules, to be fair, clear, not misleading, put, you know, risk warnings in there, put all these other statements in there that we see on traditional financial promotions when we're walking down the street or on television or, you know, whatever, on websites. I mean, it is very broad in scope. So it's very confusing for firms to figure out how they can be compliant. And I've been talking to many people about this, and there just seems to be a lot of fear. One firm wasn't even categorized within the crypto asset service business. They were just providing technology solutions to crypto businesses, and their lawyers advised them to stop promoting to the UK for fear of being caught in this and a wait-and-see approach, how this played out. Other firms where have English people have signed up to a newsletter, for example, are then thinking, I should strike these people off. And can I even find out where they are? You know, geolocation, or, you know, people might use VPNs. So there's all these things that feed into the pot to make it complicated.
So we're seeing a sort of unintended ripple effect of these rules, which are now being dealt with as a secondary sort of movement. And now you mentioned in the list, so I'd just like to enlighten and shift our attention exactly on that list. So on the 9th of October, just 24 hours after the entry into force of these new crypto rules, the FCA issues a whopping 146 alerts. So the alerts basically consisted of a long list of crypto companies, names, and websites, highlighting that these firms are not authorized or registered by the FCA. And among the list of names included some big names such as Huobi and KuCoin. So here, basically, the FCA is really not messing around. What do you think the effect of these alerts will be from a crypto business provider perspective and also from the perspective of a UK consumer?
Well, when we saw that published list, which we knew was coming, at Crypto UK, we obviously went through it in detail to see if any of our members were on that list, because we'd been communicating with them over the last several months to make sure everyone was compliant. And we don't have any members on that list. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And most folks won't have heard of any of those brands, apart from Huobi and KuCoin, as you mentioned. I mean, Huobi, they're just rebranded to HTX, which is an odd one. Their investor is Justin Sun, and they're domiciled in the Seychelles, which has a pretty low regulatory requirement for many aspects of protecting against illicit finance and consumer harms. So I'm, you know, that doesn't necessarily, there's many different operators in this ecosystem that want to be compliant and those that don't. It was quite a big number, but as I said, quite a lot of those promotions may be, you know, not real entities, for example. I don't know. I've not done any due diligence. But the FCA did say they were going to publish this, and they did. And I think press picked up on it as a negative. And I mean, this is the danger that I feel as, you know, somebody that promotes UK PLC for innovative firms to come and set up and build here. And part of that is to have, you know, good policy and good regulatory framework that's balanced and proportionate. But I am hearing from folks that looking to invest overseas out of, say, the US and Asia, that this whole, the whole promotion thing is seen as a negative for the UK. And that's just a shame, because at its core, its heart is just there to protect against people.
It depends which side you're on, you know. In my opinion, I think other regulators should follow suit, because it will set certain players apart from the others. And at the end of the day, the intention is to protect citizens. So we'll see. Perhaps, you know, maybe we'll see, you know, other regulators following suit and publishing similar rules and lists. They were just the first to sort of take this approach. But I think it's a positive for the industry, at least in the long term. Robert, do you have anything to add?
I just concur that there were only two names that were recognisable. I think the rest were all ones that the FCA had obviously been corresponding with, because they'd found websites or flyers in relation to them before, and they therefore issued the notice. But the only two that were real, I think the others were all scams. Mm-hmm. Like that. I don't know.
I think there were certain players like Bybit and PayPal who said they're not withdrawing, they're pausing until they become compliant. So we're seeing as well the seriousness and commitment of certain players, which obviously will elevate them from the others who just withdrawn and said we're not going to sort of be compliant. So we'll see this.
No, you're dead right. I think those firms that are, let's say, you know, more mature and compliant focused first, have publicly said they're going to take a step back until they have gotten all the process and policy in place, and this new regime has had time to iron out the creases. But there's a wider problem here in this industry that we've all talked about, you know, social media endorsements by celebrities of tokens without them doing any of their own due diligence. And I mean, I remember when a reporter reached out to me last year and said, oh, what do you know about scam token, right? I'm not going to say any names, but a token that I'd never heard of, that I then started doing some due diligence. And this particular token was advertising on a top Italian football team. So I thought to myself, well, this is really bad. This endorsement lets the fans of that club know, and others, that this, you know, this is a proper project, or a project that's not trying to rip people off. And I reached out to the marketing team at that football club and said, do you know anything about this token? Because to me, I've done some due diligence. It doesn't look like it has any real value or has any people that I can find behind it. It has any value proposition. And I mean, the marketing team just said, no, they gave us money. And so that's a real problem, where you have these pump and dump schemes promoting themselves, writing articles in Forbes because they can, because that's, you know, you create your own content there, and creating a buzz behind them, having a website, and then getting some endorsement from a professional sports team. And that's where we need to kind of look at the hook.
I agree. We're dealing with a completely different culture and type of people. We have a very highly communicative, you know, set of people who are using certain channels, private channels like Telegram. So it's very different to grasp, and they're very different to regulate as well, so which is part of the challenge, I think. So thank you very much for a really exciting conversation. I've had a blast in the last half an hour or so, and I think it's going to be very insightful in terms of what's going on in the UK for all those interested. Before I let you go, I'd just like to invite you to participate in what I call a round of bullshit. So I'm just going to read out a phrase and just tell me if you think it's true or false. So on a recent FCA news publication, it was stated that the new rules come into effect as research from the FCA shows that the estimated crypto ownership has more than doubled from 2021 to 2022, with 10% of the 2,000 people surveyed stating that they own crypto. So would you say that these figures are true or false?
I just read it. They were true.
Yes,
definitely true.
You've definitely read the publication.
Yes,
yes, the numbers are true, and meaning that, you know, crypto adopters are on the rise. So the timing of these new rules is actually quite good.
It's like Bitcoin was the only one they really knew. Like after Bitcoin, Ethereum, there's a little tiny bit, and after that, it was nothing.
Well, but it still shows an increase. So, okay, so perfect. Thank you so much for your time and for participating in the discussion. And to you, our listener, thank you for listening, and until next time.